The Leafs with a rare afternoon game down in Minnesota, and they end up winning 4-3. Really impressive win.
Gutsy effort.
Really gutsy. Yeah. Much like, you know, a couple of days ago in Jersey, where you're on the road, you know, tough crowd. Minnie's a big physical team.
Big Ryan Reeves.
Reeves is out there. Foligno's out there. Boldy's a big kid. Erickson Eck's a big dude. And the Leafs, you know, they had the lead all game, effectively, and they held on. They end up winning 4-3. Matt Murray made an unbelievable post-to-post stop to hold on to the win. And you guys were issuing theories of why you think it's been working, right? We're big on theories
today.
Theory
hour. Yeah.
Theory hour. Where, Frankie, your theory is the guys who are in the lineup, not necessarily replacing the injured players, because Sandin, Liljegren, they were playing anyway, but they have larger roles to play.
More ownership.
More ownership.
They have to carry a little more of the load, more than they're used to, and now there's no hiding from it.
Exactly. And as a result, it's permeated the room, and everyone seems to have elevated their commitment to, I think, details, defensive play in particular. Jonas, what was your theory again?
It wasn't really a theory. It was more like an observation.
You had an observation.
It was more like they've had this season or this stretch where they played really well, and you're like, well, who's having like this amazing year? And it's like, well, a couple guys, but it's like most of the guys you go through the lineup, you're like, yeah, he's been okay.
Your theory was culture based, I think.
Yeah,
they built
this
culture in an organization of winning. That.
A good team.
There you go.
Like, imagine, I was just looking at the numbers, like some of the injuries. Like, imagine if I had told you before the season, all right, Matt Murray's going to miss 14 games by the middle of November. Ilya Samsonov, he's going to miss 10 games. Jake Muzzin's going to play in 4 games. TJ Brody's going to be hurt. Morgan Riley's going to be hurt. You'd be like, man, like, how are they surviving? And you'd be like, it must be because, like, Matthews has scored a million goals. It's like, well, no. Actually, no.
No, yeah. It's not.
You'd be, like, amazed that they'd be doing all this with all the stuff that's gone on.
I think you're right, especially if you looked at their record now.
12-5-5.
12-5-5, if you include the way they started.
Which was bad.
Which was really
they
poorly.
Wasted games.
Wasted games against the worst teams in the league. And then on top of it, Muzzin, Riley, Brody, Murray out, Samsonov out. You'd say there's no way they're in a playoff spot.
Yeah.
Not only are they in the playoffs, they're comfortably in. Boston won again today. That's 12 in a row, I believe, at home. That's a new NHL record.
They might have been down 2-0 in that game.
They were, I believe, down 2-0. They come back and win 3-2 in overtime. They're having a magical season, but they're not so far gone that the Leafs can't see them.
No.
Like, the Leafs are kind of on their heels. And my theory, because we all have to have unique theories.
I like this.
My theory is they got one hell of a coach when the puck is dropped. Like, I think Sheldon Keefe is proving he's a really good in-game coach.
Yeah.
I don't think he's done himself many favors dealing with the media, the market. I don't think he's overly comfortable all the time speaking. I think he says some things that he immediately wants to take back, but once they're out, they're gone. You know, respect in the handshake line, you know, our elite players, and then actually it was this and it was that. I don't think he's done himself any favors, and I think it would be in his best interest to figure that out, to just deal with it, do your thing, and don't create any fires that you eventually feel like you got to put out or are being unfairly stoked when it's you that said what you said or you're the one that's acting the way you're acting.
When Jonas is asking the hard-hitting questions after practices and games, it must be hard for Sheldon Keefe.
I think so.
You got this guy looking at you.
But in terms of like what this team is doing right now with these injuries, for them to be winning the way they're playing, also playing the style they're playing, like, defensively sound.
They've gotten better. Without these guys, which is nuts.
Sheldon Keefe deserves a ton of credit.
He does.
He deserves a ton of credit, man. He's really at an elite level in terms of getting this team to do what they're doing. Because 8-1-4 with all these injuries is incredibly impressive.
He's a very detailed coach. Like, I can recall from playing for him, the video sessions we would have. You're looking at some of the stuff he's showing, you're like, I almost would never see that unless he pointed it out. Like, he's very good that way. He's very detailed. And the thing I like the most is the fact that in-game, he has a good pulse on his team, like you mentioned, right? Like, he's not afraid to switch up the lines, put them in a blender. Like, he'll manage his bench really well. Mm-hmm. I think he's been really impressive.
He has. Well, you look at some of the stuff he did today. He put Simmons in. He moves Yarncroak up the lineup, and he said part of that was because he had been playing better. He thinks he has more to give. He ends up scoring a goal. But also, he said in the pregame with Masters, a lot of it is based on who they're playing.
Right.
Like some coaches, it's like we have four lines if we're at home, on the road, indoors, outdoors, best team, worst team. This guy, every game is changing based on what he sees his own team doing and how he sees the opponent possibly, you know, playing against them. And he's willing to make changes. And as of right now, they're really working out. This might be a first for us. With the Leafs playing in the afternoon, we're going back down to the rink. This is like a post-game show.
This is awesome.
Yeah, here's our boy Mike Johnson, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Are you still in the rink? Or are you in the car with Gord? Like, what's going on down there?
Well, if you've ever been to Minnesota for a game, Hayes, you know that the hotel we stay in is like 150 yards across the street from the rink.
I wouldn't know that.
So I scurried back to the hotel so I could be nice and quiet for you guys.
So, attaboy.
Yeah, the afternoon games, it's a little different, but for the Leafs it's good because now they can finish, win, feel good, get out of here at a good time, get into Pittsburgh probably by like 8 o'clock tonight, and won't be up all night because I got to go right back at it again tomorrow.
Yeah, that was an impressive win, Johnny. I mean, I was just talking about Sheldon Keefe, and the Leafs are 8-1-4. All these defensive issues, all these injuries, all these young players. How do you feel about the way he's been coaching recently and the results he's been getting based on what he's been doing?
I mean, give him credit and give the Leafs credit, right? Finding solutions to problems. And in many ways, it's funny, like I've said, you know, it doesn't feel as easy as last year. But when you look at last year, it's almost exactly the same as last year in the way that they started and they kind of struggled through October and then they took off in November. Well, that's exactly what the Leafs have done this year. Struggled through October, took off in November, great goaltending early. Jack Campbell last year, this year it's Murray and Samsonov. And now the added challenge of their top three defensemen are not playing. And whatever Jordy Benn is, their eighth defenseman. Like, how many teams could do without three of their top six defensemen? Like, very, very few. And the Leafs are walked into Jersey, team that won 13 in a row and found a way to win. They go into Minnesota, a very tough building, had a lot of energy, and Reeves was there and the physicality. And, you know, they're playing these, you know, Victor Mete and Mac Hollowell are in the fourth, third pair. They're about 5'9", 175 pounds. It's a challenge. But, you know, he's working at coaching. You know, you mentioned when it's going easy, and some coaches just all the time, they just kind of write their names down, open the doors, and let their team go play. Right now, Sheldon Keefe is working. He's grinding. He's trying to find solutions. He's switching lines. He's switching game plans. I watch him. I'm down between the benches. He's got the lines in a blender all game. Like, he'll throw Matthews out there randomly out of sequence. He'll throw Tavares on the wing with Matthews out of sequence. Like, he's doing all these different things to try to maximize his team's chances of winning, and they're winning. So give him credit. If you look at the historical fastest to 100 wins or 150, whatever the numbers are, where he's at right now, he's amongst the league leaders ever in hockey in the NHL. So he's done a good job, and the team's responded well for him.
Johnny, when it comes to the back end, like, we've watched enough Leaf games to know that, you know, from the back end, they want to make tape-to-tape passes. They want to hit the middle of the ice. They don't necessarily play a very simple game. And what I mean by that is they don't like to rim a lot of pucks. There's not a lot of off the glass and out. And when you play that way, that tape-to-tape middle of the ice, like, it can go south for you pretty quick. But it seems like now with the big guys who are out, the guys who are playing now are doing a good job. They're moving the puck. Like, are you noticing anything as far as them maybe trying to simplify, or are they just doing a really good job of what they're supposed to be doing?
Well, you know what, Frankie? I think what I noticed, especially today, is I thought the forwards, now, take nothing away from the defensemen, right? Like, they got to battle. They got to get the pucks loose. But I thought the forwards did a really good job being tight and being available. And you know what it's like, right? You come around, you're under duress. Like, there's that guy, 10-foot pop pass. It's an easy pass for me to make. I can make it. As opposed to when it's 18 feet through a stick, and it's a little bit more challenging. I thought today, for the most part, all across the board, the Leafs forwards were just a little bit more connected, a little bit deeper, a little bit more there in support. And that's how they probably should do it all the time. But maybe when it's Morgan Riley, they're like, well, I don't have to be so far back there because he can shake one guy and make a beautiful pass, and I'm off the races. But the team defense today was good. Other than when Kaprizov was on the ice, because that guy is magic. He's so good. But other than that, I thought they did a pretty good job managing the puck out of their own end, which is what they're trying to do with this decor that they have to work with.
Until about 15 seconds left in the game.
Oh, my goodness. Sandin with that turnover was a deep hit. And Murray bailed. You know how much, how different the next 24 hours would be for Rasmus Sandin if he doesn't make that save.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, you give up that cookie so late. No, you could have skated it back to the net, stood against the boards and put it in your skates. The game would have ended. But you tried to flip it out, fanned on it, and all of a sudden it's Kaprizov, of all guys, a one-timer that actually probably should have gone in. He didn't get to the top half of the net. Murray made a great save, but because he makes a save, it's an afterthought. It's not a big deal. Everyone kind of laughs about it. Thank you very much. On we go. We're winning. It's great. But yeah, that was, other than that one, that was not a great finish to the game.
Yeah, what a stop that was, though. Like, Matt Murray, man, he deserves all the credit he's getting, if not more than what he's getting, because he's barely played for 2 years. We all know what happened in Ottawa. We know him leaving Ottawa. We know what happened opening night in Montreal, then the injury. Like, it was going south. It felt like it was going south immediately. And for him to return and be back, he's been back like 10 days. He started his first start was last Tuesday in Pittsburgh. You were there, Johnny. You called that game. He was outstanding. And, you know, he was great in Jersey. He was great again today. Jonas, you were asking, like, who's having a great season? I think Murray's probably the answer.
But it's like it's been five games.
It hasn't been enough, necessarily, in terms of sample size. And the overarching questions are still there in terms of health, longevity, what happens by the end of the year. But in the moment, Johnny, what else can you say but pump the tires of Matt Murray?
Mm-hmm. Pump it up. Like,
yeah.
Hit the jump jam. Let's go. I mean, what are we talking about? He deserves it. And, yeah, you're right, he got hurt. And that happens, and that will be an ongoing concern. But when he's been playing, other than that first game against Montreal, he's been rock solid. And a little glimpse to his mindset. And I don't know exactly what he's like before the game, but right in front of me, I'm between the benches, guys. And there's Matt Murray, and they're doing the stretching and doing a little edge work, kind of warming up as they step on the edge for warm-up. And who comes up right beside him is Marc-Andre Fleury. Fleury looks at me, gives me a what's up. I'm like, hey, what's up? And he's looking to Murray for the same, like that kind of acknowledgement. Hey, good luck. What's up? And Matt Murray, I don't know if he was freezing him out or if he was just so dialed in on his preparation, didn't even glance towards Marc-Andre Fleury. It's unbelievable. I'm like, I'm not saying hi to him. Like, he's and Fleury's looking over like, hey, like, you're, and Matt Murray just giving him no reaction whatsoever until finally when Fleury went to skate away, he reached across with his stick and tapped on the pad saying good luck. But he was just locked in, and the only question I have is, he's going to get a rep. What are you making? I think I'm impartial. I think I'm reading it right, of this tendency to knock the net off.
It's outrageous. It's outrageous.
Multiple times today. And are you thinking, I thought the first one was accidental, second one on purpose, and the third one accidental. What do you think? Am I crazy?
We were talking about that, Johnny, that the rep is, because it, like, people were pointing out in the arena that the arena staff was like visibly furious by the end, that they had to come out.
Well, the Wednesday night should have been a penalty, right? Like, that was pretty.
That's no different for me. That's no different than like a puck over the glass. Like, you're stopping the play because of something that you did to deter it. But Johnny, we all watch a lot of hockey games. How often do we see a goalie knock the net off on a side to side movement? I don't see it at all. And then now we're watching the Leafs, and we see it almost every game.
Well, I'll just say this: Fleury did it going side to side in this game. In the
so
third
maybe
period.
It's the rink.
Now Fleury saw his team on a rush and went and put the net back on its moorings. Like, so it was a stoppage. But like, I don't know. Like, the last one, going over and he's trying to get his shoulders up to take the short side under the bar away. So he's barreling into the corner of the crossbar post, like, and he's using that to anchor his movement. I don't know. Like, I put that on the net. I don't put that on the goaltender. And I guess, Frankie, I do see it. I do see them kind of go when they explode into the post. Sometimes it dislodges. I don't know. But if you get this rep, then you won't get that call. Like, you'll be starting to pick up penalties. They were talking to Murray between whistles saying, okay, enough already. You got to be careful there. But I don't know what you want you to do. If you're going as hard as you can post to post and you stick your skate into the post to stop you from sliding out of the net or your pad and the net comes off, I mean, I don't know. It's one thing if it's your shoulder, kind of like an upward motion, but if it's your pad or your skate, like, it shouldn't come off if you go post to post and just run into it. And it is. It happened twice tonight. So yeah, the crowd was getting infuriated, and the poor guy with the drill and the turkey baster was getting rattled because he couldn't find a way to fix it quickly. So it was some comic relief in the last few minutes of the game.
Mike, I'm curious your big picture thoughts on the defense. Is there anything you can see in the next month that will make you think they do not need to add a defenseman ahead of the deadline, which is light years away?
Yeah. You know what I could see in the next month is TJ Brody and Morgan Riley coming back.
Okay, so let's say everyone comes back then. Yeah. Do you think it's they might not need to add someone?
I said this before, and O fell out of his chair.
Yeah, you're on the record.
I would be inclined to...
Oh, your team forward.
Forward.
I'm there with you, Johnny, actually.
Yeah. Oh,
I'm
on team look forward, at this. Johnny. Yeah. Look at you gathering people here, Johnny. Go
well,
ahead.
There you go. Strength in numbers. Listen, I'm for go get Dmitry Kulikov to be a 5'6 physical guy, whatever, or Gavrikov in Columbus. Pay a third-round pick for him, whatever it's going to cost, and add your depth and add to your size. But go, if you're going to spend capital, if you have this cash to spend because of what you're accumulating with all this LTIR, go get an impact forward and change the look of what your third line could be up front. I think that would be more impactful. And now I don't know if they're going to do that. It feels like everyone talks about, you know, Dubas believes playing a certain way. Feels to me like the last couple of years, he's gotten away from what the Leafs were, you know, are, you know, supposed to be.
Or their defense has changed for sure.
Well, but they, you know, like with the trade for Foligno, like he went after Foligno instead of Taylor Hall. Like, yeah, you know, yeah, they leaned into this kind of tough, you know, character gritty thing more than this skillful, speedy thing. So, and I'm not, you know, there's the balance is probably somewhere in the middle, but I think trying to get back to, you know, three lines that can attack, and I don't know, you know, St. Louis makes the playoffs, Ryan O'Reilly's probably not getting traded. Bo Horvat's going to get traded. Like, I would like to see Bo Horvat play.
That's
for
a nice player.
If I'm going to swing for the fences, I go get him before I go get, you know, whoever, Jacob Chychrun or somebody like that.
The Chychrun thing is puzzling to me because I know he's a good player. He's on a good contract. But, Johnny, he's been hurt a lot. And he's not like this big, punishing defenseman. He's an offensive guy. Like he wants to play offensively, and I don't know if those reps are necessarily there for this team. I've been coming up with theories today, Johnny, so I want to know maybe if you have a theory on this. Like, would you want to see a scenario where they go and find someone to play with Morgan Riley, who's a right-hand shot, and the guy I kind of look at is in Washington, Nick Jensen. Like, he's just a nice, smooth, crisp player. He doesn't do anything exceptionally well, but he's a guy who can kind of munch minutes. And then what that does is, when Brody does come back, that puts him on your second pair with Justin Hall, and then Giordano's on your third pair. Like, do you like the way that would fit?
I suppose you think Nick Jensen is much better than Timothy Liljegren 40 games from now. You know,
yeah.
I don't know the answer.
Yeah,
but
I don't know either.
The right shot guy, steady Eddie, kind of a similar kind of player. You know, underlying numbers are generally pretty strong when he plays. So, you know, I don't want to go get average just because he's a bit older than the young guys that are, you know, are there as well, like Liljegren and Sandin. So I guess it's a good problem to have. They're winning games while they're trying to figure out these questions. But give them credit. They're battling hard. They're not perfect, but they're finding ways to win. The only concerning thing about a game, you know, you don't want to be Debbie Downer, but I'm there. We didn't say Austin Matthews' name very much today.
We talked about that.
He's been awfully quiet, Johnny. I mean, we're talking weeks. And because they've won so many games, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's just a complete. Yep. It's a sidebar conversation about a guy who won the Hart Trophy a year ago
and was like the best player in the league.
Absolutely, and every night
and
you were
even more than that, guys. Was the best player 5-on-5?
Right. Yes. Yeah. Like that's
he finished
that's,
like Mike. He had 10 more goals than the next closest player 5-on-5, and he missed. He missed 9 games.
He's been doing that for years too.
Yeah.
Like his 5-on-5 goal scoring it blows everyone else.
He
out of
was
the
like
water.
30 goals ahead
All
of the
right,
next
hey,
guy.
Here we go. I'll tell you. I have my little stats from. So last year, goals per 60, per 60 minutes played at 5-on-5, he was 1.94. This year, he's 0.55.
Yeah.
Like almost a quarter, or maybe closer to a third of last year's rate. Points last year per 60, 5-on-5, 3.37.
Yeah.
This year, 1.29. Again, a third as productive at 5-on-5. Like, so... It's great that and I think he actually has more goals after 21 games than he did last year because he's gotten so many on the power play. But the 5-on-5 thing is an interesting dynamic right now.
It
and
is.
I think that Sheldon and Austin and the whole coaching staff and the Lions are trying to figure out how do we get him going, because those numbers are not good by his standards. I think he's got the same, you'll love this, 5-on-5 goals per 60 this year as Pierre Engvall.
Wow.
Like, to the number. So,
and it's not so just, I like, mean, you could say shooting percentage. It's not like,
it's not that.
It's not, you're not looking at him every night and saying he's been awesome.
He's not dominant.
Just from an eye test thing, just from an eye test thing, it feels like every time Matthews is on the ice, there's someone draped over him, which is understandable. But last year, it felt like he could get away from guys. He could create some separation. And this year, it doesn't seem that he's able to do that, Johnny.
No, yeah, I'm with you. He's just not getting the same quality of looks. I don't know. I don't think it's any sort of health thing. Certainly he's getting a lot of attention. He's not getting around the net as much. He's kind of around the perimeter a little bit more, looking to shoot it past goalies as opposed to kind of getting around, banging around. But who am I to say about how to score goals? He knows how to do it better than anyone. But that is the one thing, especially with all the defensemen hurt. Like, you know, if you could just get a bit more of an uptick there. And it's not like, you know, Mitch Marner is piling up points left and right. I think William Nylander, in many ways, has been the best forward 5-on-5 amongst the big four, kind of as far as relative to what you expect from him. Like, I thought he was awesome today, William Nylander. I thought he was incredible. You know, he's getting a lot of goals. And they've tried different line combinations. They're trying to find different ways to get him going. So that is, in the current situation, is probably the most urgent question that they're trying to find an answer to, is like, how do we unlock Austin and his 5-on-5 play again? Because it's been quiet, and it was quiet again today.
Yeah, it is. It's a really curious question. I mean, and I would think if you're Sheldon Keefe, you generally the answer is okay, get Mitch going with them. But I don't think you're going to move Marner off Tavares's
line.
Playing
well together
because they're playing and they're producing. You know, yeah. And early in the games too, and they're winning exactly. And like I doubt it was a scenario where Keefe was like, let's put Marner with Tavares because we think he can give more. But as of now, I think that's the case. Like, going into the game tomorrow, and this is probably the first time this has happened at any point, even Tavares' first year when he scored 47, where I expect Tavares to score tomorrow night, and I'm not sure Matthews will.
We just got ridiculous text.
Yeah, from someone.
Should we read it on the air?
You should.
Did I get this? Did I get access to it?
You got access to it. We all got it. Johnny got it.
We talked about the other stuff.
No, we don't answer for him.
I didn't get any text. Nobody texted me.
Yeah, we don't need to answer that.
Someone who was on the panel is not happy with what we're talking about right now.
Why? Because this is in-depth analysis. Like, this is what we bring to the table.
We're doing expected. We got the percentages
everything.
Somebody didn't like goals per 60, and I wonder who that might be.
Yeah, you can pretty much answer it. It's exactly who you would expect it to be. But yeah, it's we'll find out, you know, moving forward. Like, I have more faith in him than almost anyone in the league to eventually snap out of it.
But wait,
and score goals by the bundle.
Can we just dig in more on the forward thing, Mike? Why do you think that's, you just look to the playoffs and say they could use one more game breaker kind of thing?
I think it will stack their lines a lot better if you can get a good two-way centerman in that third hole. Mm-hmm. I think Camp as a fourth-line center guy is really well situated. Amazingly enough, you know, even Aston Reese and him, they kind of have a bit of a chemistry there. But you know, Kerfoot and, you know, Engvall or Jaren Croak or you know, whoever's going to play down the middle. I just think if we're going to swing, if the Leafs are going to swing for the fences, and they're going to try to make a run. And I know, listen, get out of one round, but they don't have the luxury of, like, let's make this a three-year thing. Like, they got to go for it and go deep right away. Like, they had to get through a round and then get through three. And I think, you know, Pontus Holmberg's been a nice addition. Like, but I think if you could put somebody else there and then offer a different kind of look, I think that would make the team more effective and have a greater incremental benefit than the defense. The defense, to me, is when everyone's healthy, is fine. They're not perfect, but they're good enough. And I don't know what defenseman out there would make a big impact. And maybe that's what I'm trying to say. To go get a defenseman that's good enough to make a significant impact is impossible because they're not available. And if they were, they probably would cost more than an impactful forward. So that's kind of where I'm coming from. If they had to spend a lot of capital to get one of those two things, if they're going to, I would take a run at a Horvat or an O'Reilly or somebody along that those guys as opposed to a Chychrun or a whoever, John Klingberg.
Johnny, get you out of here on a Canadian goaltending question. We saw Fleury return today. He didn't look great. Gives up four. Obviously, the World Cup is not happening. It's not going to happen next year. Who knows when it's ever going to happen, when they'll return to best on best. But with the World Cup going on, I think there's a lot more attention being placed on that, the fact that we're not privy to best on best hockey, and it's been a long time. But I think the Canadian team is actually probably lucky that's the case.
Yeah.
Because if it started tonight, the World Cup, like, their goaltending would be, I don't know who plays in net.
Carter Hart.
It might be. Like, where do you think they would go with the starter? Like, if it was a gold medal game tonight, who starts for Canada?
Jordan Binnington?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Might be.
Logan
He's been a lot
Thompson?
Better recently.
Huh?
Yeah, Larry Thompson, we like him.
I don't know if Larry Thompson would get there, but I think it'd be Jordan Binnington and Darcy Kuemper, Stanley Cup winner, would be behind them.
The save percentage leaders for Canadians, Thompson, he's only played Skinner, Matt Murray.
Skinner, yeah.
Yeah.
Carter Hart,
yeah.
Darcy Kuemper, Tristan Jarry.
There you go.
It's tough. Yeah.
It's tough.
So I think it's Kuemper. And Kuemper gets a lot of heat for being just so pedestrian after we took a stick in the eye and was trying to learn how to see again in the middle of the playoff. But he's got pretty good numbers in his career, and I think he would be. He probably would be the guy, and maybe on the Canadian team he might be good enough. But I tell you what, can we borrow one or two from Russia?
That's
or one
amazing
or two from
thing.
The Americans?
Yeah,
because they
might
got them in surplus.
They really do.
Yeah. Three best goalies in the league might be Russian: Vasilevsky, Shesterkin, and Sorokin.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. And
Sorokin's been the best of them all this year.
There you go.
What he did the other night was outrageous against Edmonton.
Outrageous.
What do you have, 49 stops?
This guy's a machine.
49 for 49. Thanks
yeah.
for coming out.
You're right. Russians and the Americans. Like, Hellebuck's had a great bounce back. Ottinger. Yeah. Spencer Knight's been really good as a young kid.
Yeah.
John Gibson might not even make that team.
I don't think he would.
There's no way he'd make it.
Yeah. No, I think Hellebuck would start game one, and then...
Yeah,
like Demko's.
And Ottinger would play the rest of the way.
Ottinger too. Yeah, yeah, you're right. There's, we got to figure that out. Canada's got to find some goalies.
In 2030, when they finally have
in 2030,
World Cup.
Yeah, in 2030. All right, Johnny.
The crazy part is, listen, if it goes 2025 phase, that will be what Austin Matthews' eighth year, McDavid's ninth year, and they'll never have played best on best.
It's such a dropping of the ball. It's awful.
Like, some of it's not their fault, right? Like, the world has gone crazy in the last, you know, they're supposed to play in the Olympics. It was COVID. And then we know about the political strife that has maybe prevented the World Cup from happening and the invasion of Ukraine. But, man, it's just like, think about that. These guys would be like almost 30 years old, and they've never had the chance to play best on best.
Honestly.
It's ridiculous.
Like, get a hockey summit going or something. Have Canada,
right.
U.S.
Canada
next summer. Exactly. Who
next
cares? Exactly. A best of three, best of five, Canada, U.S.
You'd
sell a ton of tickets, and it'd be awesome. Anyway, I don't think it's going to happen. All right, Johnny, we'll do it again soon. Thank you, buddy.
All right, guys. Hey, go Canada, go on Sunday.
Yes, can't wait for it. There's Mike Johnson, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Build your next dream Toyota at Maple Toyota, and check out Maple Toyota's pre-owned inventory arriving daily. It's time to Toyota. Visit MapleToyota.com.